Okay, so you know that feeling, right? You're like a law student, you've got classes, maybe you're working part-time, trying to like have a life outside of school, and then boom, something happens with your health and like everything goes sideways.
Oh, tell me about it. That balancing act is tough enough already.
Right. And that's what we're going to dig into today, like how employment law tries to deal with those situations where health and work collide.
Absolutely. It's a bit of a legal maze, for sure. We're taking a deep dive into a really important case, Spangler v. Federal Home Loan Bank of Des Moines.
Spangler. Okay, I've had that name floating around.
It's one of those cases that really clarifies the differences between the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and the FMLA, Family and Medical Leave Act.
Ah, the ADA and FMLA. Two big ones, but easy to get mixed up.
Exactly. And that's our mission today, to break down this Spangler case so that you listening, future legal eagles, really get those nuances of who's responsible for what when it comes to employee rights and employer obligations.
Love it. Super practical knowledge. So what are we working with today? What sources helped us put this deep dive together?
Great question. We've got a few things. First, we've got a detailed case brief on Spangler. It highlights how Spangler's attendance issues were a big deal in the court's decision, especially when it came to the ADA.
Attendance, huh? I bet that comes up a lot in employment cases.
Well, all the time. Then we have some super helpful guidance that lays out the framework for a discussion.
Okay, so we're not just going in blind.
Not at all. And last but not least, a standard brief that really digs into that legal principle of regular attendance being a core job function.
Makes sense. You got to be there to do the work, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
So enough with the intro stuff. Let's
Yeah.
get to the heart of it. Who was Teresa Spangler and what led to this whole legal battle?
Okay, so Teresa Spangler, she had been working at this Federal Home Loan Bank of Des Moines for a long time, like since 1982, so that's what, 16 years?
Wow, almost 2 decades.
Until she was let go in 1998. And important to note, she had a history of depression.
Depression. Okay. And this wasn't a new thing for her, right? I mean, she had taken medical leaves because of it before.
Yeah, you're right. She had taken leaves in 93 and then again in 97, so the bank knew about it.
And it wasn't just those formal leaves, was it? The case brief mentions that she had been having problems with showing up to work consistently.
You're picking up what I'm putting down. It was chronic, like she was getting warnings and even put on probation because of all the absences.
Wow. So it was a pretty serious issue for the bank.
Definitely. Fast forward to 1998, and there's a big restructuring at the bank.
Oh, so like shakeups, people changing roles.
Exactly. And Spangler, she gets moved to a new position, but guess what?
The attendance problems followed her.
Bingo. Still not showing up consistently. So things come to a head on September 16th, 1998.
Okay, September 1998, what happens?
Spangler calls in sick and says she won't be coming in because of depression again.
Depression again.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll come back to that phrase later on, I'm sure.
For sure. So the next day rolls around, September 17th, and she doesn't show up for work. No explanation, no call, nothing. And because of that, the bank fires her.
Makes sense from their
Bingo.
perspective, at least.
Yeah.
So what does Spangler do?
She sues, of course, files a lawsuit against the bank claiming they violated both the ADA, that's the Americans with Disabilities Act, and the FMLA, the Family and Medical Leave Act.
Okay, two separate claims. What was her reasoning there?
Well, under the ADA, she was basically saying, look, I was fired because of my depression, which is a disability, and that's discrimination.
Right, so she's claiming discrimination based on her disability. And what about the FMLA? How did that factor in?
With the FMLA, she was saying the bank messed up by not treating her calling in sick as a request for FMLA leave.
Interesting. So she's arguing that they should have given her the protected leave instead of firing her.
Exactly. So those are her two main arguments. Now, what did the first court, the district court, say about all of this?
What was their decision?
Well, the district court sided with the bank on both claims, gave them what's called summary judgment.
Summary judgment meaning.
Meaning, the court basically said, look, there's not enough evidence here to even have a trial. The bank is clearly in the right.
Wow, a pretty decisive ruling in favor of the bank.
Yeah, but Spangler wasn't giving up. She appealed the decision to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Ah, the Court of Appeals. Always more to the story, right? So that's where things get even more interesting. Let's break down the ADA claim first. Why did the Eighth Circuit ultimately agree with the district court on that one?
Okay, so with the ADA, the big question was whether Spangler could actually do the essential parts of her job, with or without some reasonable accommodations.
Accommodations like what?
Like, I don't know, maybe a flexible schedule or something. But anyway, the Eighth Circuit upheld the summary judgment for the bank.
meaning they agreed with the lower court.
Yep. And their main reason was that legally, being able to show up to work regularly is considered a really important part of most jobs.
That makes sense. If you can't consistently be there to do the work, it's hard to argue that you're fulfilling the basic requirements of the job.
Exactly. And the court really drove that point home.
How so? What did they say specifically?
They basically said that while the ADA says employers have to give reasonable accommodations for disabilities, it doesn't mean they have to just excuse constant or unpredictable absences that stop someone from doing their job.
So there's a limit to what's considered reasonable.
Right.
Yeah.
And they even pointed out that the bank had already made accommodations for her in the past, you know, with those previous leaves and warnings about her attendance.
So they'd already been pretty lenient.
Yep, they had. And get this, the court even quoted a previous case that basically said, if you can't show up, you can't do the essential parts of your job.
If you can't show up, you can't do the essential parts of your job. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Totally. And to make it even clearer, they also said that employers aren't required to change someone's job duties just because they can't be there all the time.
Right. So you can't expect your boss to just give your main tasks to someone else because you're not consistently there.
Exactly. So, yeah, the ADA claim didn't go Spangler's way.
Okay. Makes sense. But now let's switch gears and talk about the FMLA claim, which is where the Eighth Circuit actually disagreed with the district court's ruling.
Right. Big shift here. So remember, with the ADA, the focus was on whether Spangler could do her job at all. Now with the FMLA, it's all about whether the bank interfered with her right to take leave for her health.
Okay, different focus altogether.
Sure.
So what was the main issue with the FMLA claim?
The big question was whether the bank should have taken her call on September 16th, you know, when she said depression again, as a potential request for FMLA leave.
Right, the depression again call. So was that enough to put the bank on notice that she might need FMLA leave?
That was the debate, and the Eighth Circuit took a different stance than the district court.
Why? What made them reverse the summary judgment on the FMLA part?
Because they said there was a real question about whether Spangler gave enough information to make the bank think, hey, maybe she needs FMLA leave.
So it became a matter of, was depression again enough of a clue?
Precisely. The Eighth Circuit said that a jury should decide whether a reasonable person would hear depression again, knowing her history, and think it meant she needed protected leave.
So they were saying it wasn't a clear-cut case, like with the ADA.
Right. The facts were murky, and a jury needed to sort it out, which is why they sent the case back to the lower court to continue the FMLA part.
Okay. Interesting. So basically, the court wasn't saying Spangler was definitely entitled to FMLA leave. They were saying a jury should get to decide if her call was enough to put the bank on notice.
You got it. And they also said that once an employer gets information that suggests an employee might have a serious health condition, they can't just ignore it.
So even if she didn't explicitly say, I need FMLA leave,
yeah,
the bank still had a responsibility to figure out if she qualified for it.
Exactly. They should have either granted the leave or at least asked for medical documentation to see if it was an FMLA situation.
Which they didn't do in this case.
Nope. They just fired her.
Yeah.
So the Eighth Circuit said a jury could totally find that the bank violated the FMLA by doing that.
Wow. So this case really shows how different the ADA and FMLA are, right? They protect employees in different ways.
Totally. It's like comparing apples and oranges.
So what are the big takeaways here? What should law students, like those listening, really understand about the differences between these two acts?
Okay, so first, big difference. The ADA is all about making sure people who can do their job, maybe with some help, aren't treated unfairly just because they have a disability.
So it's about being able to work with reasonable adjustments, not about taking time off.
Right, but the FMLA is specifically about protecting your job when you need to take leave for a serious health problem, even if it means you can't work at all for a while.
Makes sense. So one is focused on working with support and the other is about taking time off for your health.
Exactly. And the second big takeaway is about how you actually ask for FMLA leave. Remember how Spangler just said depression again?
Yeah, she didn't use any legal jargon or anything.
And that's the point. This case shows you don't have to say the magic words, I need FMLA leave. You just have to give your employer enough info to make them realize you might need it.
So no need to be a legal expert when you're calling in sick.
Exactly. What matters is whether you give them enough clues to connect the dots.
Let's try a little thought experiment here, just to really hammer this home.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Imagine Spangler had just called in and said, I'm not feeling well, no mention of depression again or anything specific.
Hmm, interesting. What do you think would have happened?
Do you think the court would have ruled the same way?
Probably not. Without her saying depression again, and the bank already knowing about her history, it'd be way harder to argue that they should have known she might need FMLA.
Right, because just saying, I'm not feeling well, that can mean anything. It doesn't automatically scream serious health condition.
Exactly. It's too vague. So the context, what the employer already knows about your situation, that makes a huge difference.
And this all comes back to that key legal principle that came out of the FMLA part of Spangler, right?
Yep. The rule is you don't have to actually use the words FMLA to trigger those protections.
So you're not required to cite specific laws when you're asking for leave.
Exactly. It's all about whether you give your employer enough information for them to reasonably understand that you might need FMLA leave. And the court was very clear that if there's even a chance a jury could find that the employee did that, then summary judgment is a no-go.
So, future lawyers, what are the absolute must-know lessons from our deep dive into Spangler v. Federal Home Loan Bank of Des Moines?
All right, so lesson number one. You got to know the difference between the ADA and the FMLA. They might sound similar, but they deal with totally different things.
Right. One's about being able to work with accommodations. The other's about taking time off for health.
Yep. Lesson number two. Pay attention to how the FMLA notice requirement works. Employers have to step up once they get in for suggesting an employee might need leave, even if the employee doesn't specifically say FMLA.
Good one. And lesson number three, don't forget about how important essential job functions are in ADA cases, especially attendance. You might need some accommodations, but being able to show up to work is usually non-negotiable.
For sure. And last but not least, remember how big of a deal factual disputes can be in employment law cases.
Ah, yes, the devil is in the details.
Totally. Like with Spangler, the ADA claim was pretty clear-cut because she couldn't meet that essential function of attendance. But with the FMLA, there was a lot of debate about whether her depression again call was enough to put the bank on notice, so it had to go to a jury.
Lots to think about, isn't there?
Definitely. This case really shows how complex these laws can be in the real world. And think about how all of this is playing out now with more attention on mental health and so many people working remotely.
Oh, that's a great point. How do these ADA and FMLA distinctions work when your workplace is your home office?
Right. It's a whole new ballgame. So for everyone listening, that's something to ponder as you continue your legal journey.
Keep those brains churning. You might have to advise clients on these very issues someday.
Food for thought. That wraps up the deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us.